Last week at the end of the Sunday Gospel, we heard this about Jesus, that when he disembarked and saw the vast crowd, his heart was moved with pity for them, for they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. That's what we saw last week. Jesus, as the good shepherd, he saw what his people needed, and he provided for them. They needed truth. They needed the word of God. They needed a message of hope, and so he taught them many things. This week, we read St. John's version of what happened, and here we see another response of Jesus, the good shepherd. When he sees a large crowd, he sees that these people need food. Not only spiritual food, yes, they also need that, but they also need physical food. They need bread. They're hungry. And you know this story. It's one of the most famous stories in the Gospels. Jesus multiplies the 5 loaves of bread and feeds a crowd of 5,000 men. And there's a lot left over. It's a dramatic miracle. This particular miracle of the multiplication of the loaves made a deep impression on the early church, not only the event itself, but also its meaning, its symbolic meaning. And it's recounted in all 4 of the Gospels. There's also a very similar miracle, the feeding of the 4,000 with the 7 loaves. That's only in Matthew and Mark. And the scholars disagree whether they are 2 different events or the same event described in 2 different ways. In any case, there are 6 detailed accounts of Jesus miraculously multiplying bread. So you see how important it is in the Bible. Now, in today's liturgy, the church puts this account of the miracle together with an Old Testament story that's also similar during the time of the prophet Elisha, when 20 loaves were enough to feed 100 people. It's not quite as impressive. I mean, there's 4 times as many loaves and there's only 5% as many people, but it's still worthy of mention. And one of the details in the reading, the first reading, that shows how miraculous it was is that after they all ate, there was still some left over. Maybe not 12 baskets full of leftovers, but there was still some. In other words, there was more than enough to eat. As the Lord had said, there's going to be more than enough. So we have all these stories in both the Old and New Testaments, food miracles. What's the point of all this? For this afternoon, I'd like to offer 2 points of reflection. And the first one, which is the most obvious, is that God provides for his people. That the shepherd cares for his sheep, that the Lord has the power to provide for us, and he does it. He gives us what we need with more than enough left over. That's a very basic truth of our faith. And that's why, along with these readings about food, the first reading in the Gospel, we also have a selection from the Psalms, Psalm 145. It's a psalm of praise to God, glorifying the greatness of God. And in verses 15 and 16, which we heard just a moment ago, it says, the psalm says, "The eyes of all look hopefully to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." And our response to that was, "The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs." This is a basic truth of our faith, that all we have comes from the goodness of God, that he provides for us. It's obviously true, because if he didn't do that, we wouldn't be here. At least that's how people of faith think. Now, non-believers will say that we provide for ourselves. We grow our own food. We don't rely on miraculous multiplications all the time. Well, it's true, we don't rely on what's obviously dramatically miraculous all the time, but even when we grow our own food, it still comes from the Lord. That's the position of believers. So the Lord provides us. Now, that's the first point. Now, there's another lesson, another point I'd like to make I'd like to reflect on here. And at first, it seems to stand in contrast to the first point that God provides for us. And that is that our common experience is that God does not provide. Or at least he doesn't provide enough. That's how it looks to us very often. And we see this objection again and again in the readings themselves, in that story about the prophet Elisha. When Elisha says, give the 20 loaves to the people, his servant is the one to voice the common objection, it's not enough. How can I give this little amount to that large crowd? Now, in the story, it turned out that it was enough, but that comes later, right? At the moment when he was asked to give the food to the people, it was clearly not enough. We see the same in the gospel. In the gospel, Jesus asks Philip, where can we buy enough food for them to eat? Where can we provide food? How can we provide food for this vast crowd? And Philip gives the usual objection. We don't have enough. We don't have enough. God has not provided enough for us to give to this vast crowd. Even if we spent 200 days' wages buying food, we would only be able to give them a little bit each. We don't have enough. Next comes Andrew. Andrew points out there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves. The food of the poor was the barley loaves. And then after saying that, here's a guy with 5 loaves. Andrew makes the usual objection. What good are these for so many? The expected answer is, what good? No good. No good. It's not enough. 5 loaves isn't enough. It's obvious. You see the problem here. The problem is we affirm with strong faith that the Lord provides for his people, but at the same time, it seems to us very often like he isn't providing, or at least he's not giving enough. Kulam. Kulam talaga. And everyone feels this. In fact, most people feel it daily. In the work of providing for ourselves and providing for our families, especially if there's someone sick in the family or someone with special needs or the tuition payment is due or the mortgage is due or something. That's the experience. I don't have enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough food. We can't provide everything we need. That's the daily experience. Now, even rich people, they don't have it the same way, but even rich people can see that they don't have enough. Maybe they have enough to feed their family or provide for their family, but the needs keep multiplying. And the more people you look at, the more the needs become overwhelming. I said, maybe a very rich family can take care of their whole family, their whole clan, but they can't feed the vast crowds of the world. No one can. So what are we supposed to do about this? Well, the gospel gives us a very important example in this young boy with the 5 barley loaves, this young poor boy with a little bit. He doesn't have enough either. Maybe he has enough for himself for a day or two, but not enough for anyone else, and certainly not enough for a vast crowd, 5,000 men. But he doesn't say that. He doesn't raise the usual objection. He doesn't hide behind the insufficiency in his hands. He doesn't put his own needs first. He takes the risk of entrusting the little that he has into the hands of Jesus. It seems like a very simple act, but it's actually a very profound action and a very profound lesson for us. It changes everything. This risk, this trust, this gift, it changes everything because what's little to us is not little to God. What we can use for only a little, God can use for very much. So the Lord is asking us this afternoon to shift our attitude away from the usual objection, away from the complaint or the statement that this is not enough. Shift away from that idea that we don't have enough money, we don't have enough food, we don't have enough weapons, we don't have enough education, we don't have enough supplies, we don't have enough people, we don't have enough time. That's not the way to think if we're people of faith. What are we to think? I offer this to you, Lord. I trust in you, Lord. This is the attitude of that young boy. I don't know what you're going to do with it. I have no control over it. But I trust you. I entrust it to you. I entrust myself to you. It's a completely different way of thinking. That's the way of faith. I know, this is a very frightening step to take. But it's so important. This is faith. This is when we go beyond ourselves, when we go beyond what we can fully understand and control, when we let God be in charge. It's part of the journey of every single person of faith. And if we don't take these steps repeatedly, we don't grow. We don't grow in faith, and we don't experience the great things that God does for his people. We don't experience the care of the shepherd for the sheep because we're so busy complaining that we don't have enough and protecting ourselves. But as I say, it's a frightening thing because there's a certain period of time, sometimes it seems like a long time, but between the gift and the action of the Lord, there's a certain experience during which we feel like we're even worse off than we were before. Before we had a little, now we don't have anything. You can imagine the boy in that situation when he entrusts his 5 loaves to the Lord. All of a sudden, the Lord says, get the people to sit down. The boy doesn't have anything. That's part of the journey. That's why I'm mentioning it, because it's frightening. But don't stop with fear. Take that step of faith. Because in that step, when we experience our utter poverty before God, and God sometimes allows this feeling to sink in for a long time, as I say, but that's when we know the truth of how helpless we are to do anything without God. It reminds us or teaches us of our complete dependence on God. And that's a very good lesson, because that's true. That's true. When we think we have enough, we never think that, but when we try to rely on what we have, we forget that we are really dependent on God. So it's better to be entrusting ourselves to God and relying on him, because that's the truth of our condition. That's when we know we're helpless. That's when we know we have no more to give, when we're simply out of time, when we're simply out of ideas, out of resources, out of energy, when we're completely out of control. It's frightening for our nature, but it's a beautiful place to be for the soul. It's a beautiful step in the spiritual life, because then we meet God in a new way. When we trust in God, we make space in our hearts for him to do great things. And if we don't make space in our hearts, he can't. I mean, he doesn't force himself on us. He waits. But when we give him this space, when we trust him this way, then he can do things that we could never do on our own. In fact, things that we couldn't even imagine doing, like feeding 5,000 people with 5 loaves. That's out of our imagination. And that's what we learn from this boy with the 5 loaves. Easy for me to say. It is hard to do. It is hard to do. But this is the step to take, to entrust all that we have to the Lord, to let the Lord be in charge of our 5 loaves, to let the Lord do what he wants with our lives, which means we have to give up what we want. But what happens in God's time is that not only does God provide for us, but he gives more than enough, with a lot left over to provide for many others. That's how he works. Okay, now that's the instruction we'll take for today. We're just starting to read from John chapter 6, and we're going to read from this chapter on the bread of life for the next, all the Sundays of August. So we have a lot to learn still about how the Lord provides and what he really provides. Certainly the Lord has more in mind for us than bread, than food. The much greater bread is, of course, the bread of life, the Eucharist. But for now, let's at least go back to the very first point, which we learn when we submit to it, the first point being The Lord provides for his people. Fundamental truth of our faith, the Lord provides for his people. Or as we said in our response to the psalm, the hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs.